Welcome to Marvel.
Good morning. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff Jensen here, welcoming you into the show. Week 9 is done. It's in the books. Another fun week in fantasy football, depending on which side of it you were on. If you had Joe Mixon, if you had a Justin Fields, you know, you had yourself a great week. Davante Adams, it was very fun for you. If you're on the other side of it, there were definitely some mega duds. We'll talk about those in the studs and duds in matchups section. But before we get to that, and of course our matchup of the week, we will start off with Cliff Notes as we usually do. Just some stuff that I saw in week 9. First of all, Davante Adams had 17 targets this week. Don't forget last week he had that mega dud. I think he only had one fantasy point. So the Raiders obviously making sure to get their star wide receiver the ball. The funny thing about that is 17 targets, had an epic game, 2 touchdowns. We'll talk about it more in the studs and duds section. But he did it mostly all in the first quarter and in the first half of the first quarter. So if you own Davante Adams, you're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, he is going to go nuclear, which he already did. In the first quarter, 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards, and then almost did nothing in the second half. And I mean, had 8 targets in the second half, caught 1 target for 0 yards in the second half. So his day could have been even bigger, but we'll take what we can get in fantasy football. He had a great day, and I know I'm always guilty of doing the, oh man, if he got this many points in the first half, I can just double that, and that's what he should end up, you know, finishing the game with. You know, coaches and teams make adjustments at halftime. You can almost always bank on a lesser performance in the second half if a player is going off in the first. It's actually probably something, if you're a better, to, you know, it's good to do is take the under on whatever the whatever Vegas is saying for the second half. Teams and good coaches make adjustments. Likewise, Travis Kelce, as a tight end, 17 targets. He didn't find the end zone this week, but my goodness, if Travis Kelce is getting 17 targets a week, I believe Patrick Mahomes threw over 60 times in that game. They have no run game at all. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Another cliff note here. Justin Fields ran for 178 rushing yards on Sunday in the loss to the Dolphins, which is the most ever for a regular season game by a quarterback. Most ever rushing yards in a regular season game. Now, I don't really like that stat because, what, like playoff games obviously count too. I believe Colin Kaepernick had 200 yards. I'm going completely off memory on that one. But, you know, it's cool to say regular season. Justin Fields might have broken out and looks like he could be a Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, the next generation, so we'll see what's going on there. Next, Joe Mixon's performance was the 8th best fantasy football performance of all time. And that includes, you know, obviously players like Jerry Rice and Barry Sanders. People have gone back and added up all those fantasy points. So he had the 8th most all time, good for 55.1 PPR points. I believe that's full PPR, but doesn't matter. So just an unbelievable day, 5 touchdowns for Joe Mixon. And lastly, Tyreek Hill. I made kind of a joke about it 3 weeks ago, how he's kind of on pace to hit that 2,000, you know, yard receiving mark. Well, we're week 9 and he is still on pace for 2,048 receiving yards. We are halfway through the season and he's on pace to to hit 2K, which has never been done before. Cooper Kupp was very close last year. And of course, Megatron, Calvin Johnson was very close, you know, in the 2010 era. So very interesting to see. And I know, like I said, we're guilty of this. Oh, well, if he's on pace the first nine games, he should be able to get it the second half. So, but teams will adjust. Winter's coming, but he plays in Miami. So it's a good thing for Tyreek Hill, especially where he plays. Next up, we're going to do quick NFL power rankings. Definitely some movement this time around. Number one team in the NFL, they've moved up. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I didn't want to put them here because they really haven't played anybody, but they keep winning. They haven't trailed in the second half in any game. So they're beating teams handedly. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. Obviously, they got a couple tough games with the, you know, I think one or two against the Giants. And then they're going to have to play the Cowboys again with Dak Prescott. So we'll see what they're made of. I don't think they're going 17-0, you know. I just, the odds are against that. But they're number one for me. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs. They've moved up a spot from number three in my power rankings. Patrick Mahomes having arguably a better season than he did last year or any year with Tyreek Hill, which is unbelievable. Those two guys separate from each other, Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, are having career years. And then you look at Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, and it's Strugglesville. So very odd to see those two situations play out, but that's why we love the NFL. It's like the best movie you could ever, you know, watch or be a part of. These storylines are unbelievable. And at number three, I'm putting the Bills there, as long as Josh Allen is healthy. So that's the caveat. He's got a shoulder injury. Last play of the game against the Jets, he injured his shoulder. I think he's going to be able to play through it, but I got them number three. But, you know, there's no reason why they should have lost to the Jets. I do think they didn't realize, and now they know, that the Jets defense is elite. It's top five, top three in the NFL. So, but they gotta be able to beat Zach Wilson and the Jets offense. The Jets offense isn't great, but their defense is great. Bottom three teams in the NFL right now, no question about it. The Indianapolis Colts are the bottom feeder at this point and probably until further notice. So I don't know what they're doing. They fire their head coach and they hire a guy from ESPN. I know he played in the NFL, but Jeff Saturday has never coached a college game or NFL game in his life. And they reach out to him and make him their coach. I've never seen anything like it. So it's a circus. They already committed to benching Matt Ryan for the rest of the season. That was a mistake. I don't know why they couldn't just said, hey, we're gonna give Sam Ehlinger a chance to play. But instead, they came out and said, he's the starter for the rest of the year. So they would just look so stupid if they go back to Matt Ryan. We'll see what happens there. Next up would be the Carolina Panthers. They came back down to earth after, going toe-to-toe with the Falcons 2 weeks ago and putting up points. They benched P.J. Walker. They got Baker Mayfield to choose from, and now Sam Darnold's off IR. Circus there. They don't have a head coach, so they're going to be the second-worst team in the NFL. And after that is going to be Houston. No change there. Damian Pierce is their lone bright spot. Their other best player, Brandon Cooks, doesn't want to play for the team anymore. He benched himself last week. So those are the three worst teams in the NFL, and it's probably not even close. But without further ado, it's time to get to the matchups. And of course, the matchups of the week. We begin with the matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? It's Tom, take it on Taylor. Whoop! Taylor takes the win, 121-98. Don't let the score fool you. This was close, really close, heading into Monday Night Football. I believe Tom had a 2-point lead on Taylor. and she had Kenyon Drake left, and that's where we will begin. Her stud, Kenyon Drake, straight off the waiver wire. Actually, let's back up a little bit. Straight off my team, onto the waiver wire, onto Taylor's team, and puts up 23.9 fantasy points, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns last night on Monday Night Football to seal the deal for her and her season. I'm not a math major, but I feel like anyone who gets to 7 losses is out of the playoff race. I can't back that up with math. I'm telling you, I can't do the math, but I'm pretty sure 7 is that magic number of losses. And Taylor, make sure that's not happening anytime soon. She's taking the win. Yeah, Kenyon Drake looked great last night. It's going to be really weird when Gus Edwards comes back in 2 weeks. What's that split going to look like? Kenyon Drake looks like the better play, and I gave him up right to Taylor. As far as her dud goes, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4 receptions, 55 yards, only 7 fantasy points. Amon-Ra started off so hot at the beginning of the year. He looked like one of those bona fide top 10 receivers, but that Lions offense has really started to sputter, and it was a tough matchup against Jair Alexander, the corner for the Green Bay Packers, but this is a couple weeks now in a row, ever since his injury, he just doesn't look the same, so that's why I'm giving him the dud. As far as Tom's team, Tom puts up 98, so just missing that triple digit mark. Well below league average. I'll take a look at that later. I believe it's about 108 points league average. As far as his stud goes, I could go Cooper Kupp, but I think an encouraging sign for Tom and his team is Tyler Allgeier. Only 12.8 fantasy points, but 99 rushing yards. And the reason why I'm giving him the stud is because Cordero Patterson was back this week, aka in a neutral game script, or maybe even in a game where they're winning, there's plenty of work for both running backs. So I think Tom, you know, who might have thought Tyler Allgeier wasn't playable, I mean, he put him in his flex, so kudos to him, but Tyler Allgeier is going to remain fantasy relevant, at least for the foreseeable future. As far as your dud goes, we're right back to DJ Moore. 2 receptions, 24 yards. Carolina Panthers, like I said, they're a mess. They don't know who they want at quarterback. None of the quarterbacks there are their future, so they're carouseling. It's embarrassing. DJ Moore, 2 for 24, good for 3 fantasy points. So congratulations to Taylor for taking the win. She was excited about this one. Got the text last night. Boom, got it. That was when Kenyon Drake got his 2 points, and obviously he laid it on thick after that, going off for 23 fantasy points. So Taylor moves to 3-6 on the year. And Tom also 3-6 on the year. I believe both are in must-win situations coming up in week 10. Again, I can't back it up with math, but 7 losses cannot be good. So let's make sure we don't get those losses this coming week. Congratulations to Taylor. All right, next up was in contention for matchup of the week according to their records. This is going to be Jason Yeaters Skeeters taking on Els Bells, and Elliot takes the win 147-116. So both of these teams ranked high on the power rankings and had great records. Elliot's team kind of ran away with it towards the end there. This was never really close, but we'll start off with Elliott's team here, and no one else to go to here besides Travis Etienne. I mean, I could take my pick here between some of these great players Elliott had. I'm going Travis Etienne, 109 yards and 2 touchdowns, which, oh, by the way, his other rookie running back, Kenneth Walker, also 109 yards and 2 touchdowns, almost identical stats for the two rookie running backs who could absolutely carry Elliott to a championship. Elliott puts up 147 to Jason's 116, so 147 points for Elliott. And he did not have Saquon Barkley, Amari Cooper, and Mark Andrews was ruled inactive. That's scary. that's very scary. That's why he's been the number one ranked team since, I think, week one. I can't see that stopping anytime soon. As far as his dud goes, man, oh man, I'm still gonna, it's hard to call it a dud, folks, but I think if this game was on the line, this matchup, I think Elliott wanted a little bit more from Isaiah Likely. He got a touchdown, but he only had one reception, so this is dud worthy. In an offense that has no one to throw to, they have no weapons. Rashad Bateman's done for the year. DeSean Jackson had his first action last night, and he's already hurt with a hamstring. I mean, he's like 36 years old. And then no Mark Andrews. You feel like Isaiah Likely should have had at least a better target share and reception total. Again, that touchdown bailed him out. So Isaiah Likely, 8 fantasy points, is going to be your dud. As far as Jason's team, 116, another great, you know, point output here. Just not enough to beat the juggernaut that is Elliott. As far as your stud goes, this, I'm going to go outside the box on this one. I mean, he had Josh Allen, he had Derrick Henry, but I'm going Mecole Hardman here. Great start by Jason. 6 receptions for 79 yards and a touchdown. All the talk of the town was Kadarius Toney going to the Chiefs. You know, they have a plethora. It's like they're all the same guys too. Juju, they got Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman. They got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore, all the running backs. McKinnon can catch. Travis Kelce, the other tight end, can catch a little bit. So many options. And what does Mecole Hardman do? Goes out there, 6 receptions, 79 yards, and a touchdown. That's great usage. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, again, threw 60-plus times, so there's enough to go around if he's throwing that much. But just good to see for Mecole Hardman. As far as your dud goes, we'll stick right with the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 5 rushing yards. I'm not going to say he was benched in this game, but the usage is going way down. He didn't even start the game. It's still a 3-headed committee, and I alluded to this in the intro of the show. They have 3 running backs that I feel in the draft next year, they could get a running back maybe in the second round that could delete all 3 of these running backs. None of them do anything special. McKinnon is old, but he's a good pass catcher. The rookie Isaiah Pacheco is fast but has no vision. He carries the ball faster than anyone and heads right into the offensive lineman. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire just has no juice. He should have scored a touchdown in this game, and you know he couldn't get to the edge. And defenders, linebackers are faster than him. And like I said, one draft pick next year could change this entire draft pick. You know, you think about the Jets getting Breece Hall in the second round. I do think teams are going to start reaching for running backs again, and you're going to see a couple maybe sneak in the first round because of what could happen. Like, look at Kenneth Walker. Look at Travis Etienne. Look at Breece Hall. These guys are absolute monsters. And I know Travis Etienne is not a rookie. I think I said in Elliott's team that he was a rookie, but it's his first year playing. He was injured all last year. But those guys are difference makers, and if the Chiefs want to, they can replace all 3 of these below-average running backs with one guy moving forward. So Elliott takes the win, 147. He moves to 6-3 on the year. He's still getting people's best, so you know he takes the win here, but it was a blowout. However, Jason still put up 116, which is more than league average. So Elliott's getting these wins and playing against the best competition. That's why I think he's a shoe-in to win the championship. He's going to hate me for saying that. It's fantasy football. Anything could happen. But his team, you know, always seems to be healthy. And I don't know if we can stop him. Jason moves to 6-3. So even after a loss, Jason's still 6-3. He looks like a playoff contender, and he's been doing a great job filling in these bye weeks. Let's see how many acquisitions Jason is up to. He's up to 4, folks. 4 acquisitions. How much money does he have left? $200 of $200. It's so funny to me. I'm over here scheming and studying and dropping hundreds of dollars on these waiver wire players, and none of it matters. I'm losing, and Jason just keeps on winning. So congratulations to Elliot, and for the most part, congratulations to Jason. 6-3 after a loss is still really good. All right, our next matchup is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit, taking on Gage, who keeps changing his team name. This week, it's bye week. I love that. He was in bye week hell, and I just happened to face him, and I take the win 91-77. This was an ugly matchup for both teams. I think Gage did a very admirable job filling in for literally half his team on bye. And when I say half, I mean like Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, CeeDee Lamb, Deontay Johnson, Dak Prescott. Now that one's up for debate because he did have Tua. We'll start with his team this time. He had two studs I could choose from. Tua had 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but I'm going Michael Carter because it's good to see the Jets' run game in the absence of Breece Hall look formidable. So Michael Carter, 76 yards and a touchdown in the win versus the Bills. Woo! Beat those Bills, baby. It's just ironic because he had Michael Carter and his Bills lost, and he's lost to me. So, I mean, just a terrible week for Gage when it comes to facing me in real NFL and in fantasy. As far as his dud goes, it's going to be Bobby Trees, Robert Woods, 0-0. Tough situation for him. He's an old veteran, you know, with no separation, and Malik Willis was his quarterback who just doesn't throw the ball. So I had the pleasure of playing against Robert Woods in multiple leagues this week, and it helped me to a 6-0 week in all my leagues. So yes, sorry, I had to talk about myself there for a minute. The stars don't align that often when you're in six leagues that you can win all of them. I don't pick the same players in every league. So to go 6-0 helps me realize I made some good start sits here, and I was able to beat some of these bye weeks and injuries. So happy with that. Moving on to my team, only 91 points. I mean, and this is my full squad. I have no excuse. I'm killing myself for dropping Kenyon Drake. I just thought Gus was back. He's the guy, one of the best yards per carry guys in the league the last few years, and he's injured, hamstring. Again, this is my full squad, so I'm very nervous moving forward that I only put up 91 points. As far as my stud goes, it's pretty much every week at this point. It's Tyreek Hill, 7-143 and a touchdown. This guy is just unbelievable, having a career year without Patrick Mahomes. As far as my dud goes, we're going Dante Foreman. You know, one week he's my stud, you know, 100 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. And I knew this was a possibility. He's a glory play. Only 3 fantasy points. They were trailing big time to this Cincinnati Bengals. I do think a better game script is ahead on Thursday Night Football going against the Falcons, which he just torched just 1 week ago, so I'll be excited to start him again this week. But again, I'll take the win. I expected to get more out of my team. Gage put up a good fight, had none of his players. I had all of my players, so this is desperate times for me moving forward, but I will take the win. I moved to 4-5, so I'm 2-0 since I promised that I would make the playoffs, and I intend to keep that promise. You hear me? Gage moves to 5-4 on the season. Gage is still atop of his division. He's 5-4. The next best would be 3-6, who is Tom. So he's still got a 2-game lead, and he would be in the playoffs as of right now. All right, our next matchup is going to be Dawson Knox's Creek. Josh taking on the Book of Samuel, Joe Chick, and Josh. Woo! takes the win in blowout fashion, 154-78. Let's take a look at his squad. Oh, brother, Justin Fields. He might have found himself a quarterback here in Justin Fields, fresh off the waiver wire. I know he was struggling with Tom Brady as his quarterback. Do I start him? Is he going to come out of this funk of his? I keep believing that Tom Brady will, but he's not. Tom Brady, 15 fantasy points. So that would have been a big mistake on Josh's part if he started Tom Brady, and he didn't. He started Justin Fields, 42 fantasy points, only 123 yards in the air. But as I said before, 178 on the ground and 4 total touchdowns. It's like he's starting two, you know, players at this position, a quarterback and a running back. So a great start sit there by Josh. Another one I want to applaud him for. You know, Michael Pittman in that Colts situation is very scary times, and he made the right move benching Michael Pittman. And it looks like he started either Christian Kirk or Juju Smith-Schuster, who both had great days. So, you know, talking with Josh the last few days, he was happy and humbled that he was able to make some good start sits here, and it turned out great for his team. It looks like he could have even made a couple mistakes and still would have beat Joe Chick. No offense, Joe, but because he also had Davante Adams. So Davante Adams and Justin Fields go off and, you know, give him 73 fantasy points for two players who, you know, Book of Samuel, Joe Chick, only 78 on the week, a low, you know, output. It kind of sucks. Joe Burrow, 19 fantasy points, is going to be your stud, and he could have had a much bigger day. Threw a couple touchdowns that were called back, and then the very next play, Joe Mixon would take the handoff and bring it in. Now, Burrow did have a rushing touchdown here, but he just wasn't needed. He was actually benched, you know, for health reasons because they were blowing out the Panthers so much. So it was one of those situations for Joe Chick where if your quarterback gets benched, you want it to be because, you know, he's the reason that they're blowing the other team out. And it just wasn't the case. It was all Joe Mixon. As far as your dud goes, Khalil Herbert, you know, it looked like a time split with the Chicago Bears offense, but for whatever reason, they prefer David Montgomery still. I think Khalil Herbert is the better runner, but the better all-around back, and maybe pass protection, maybe it comes down to third down pass protection. They're giving the ball to Montgomery and the snaps and the work. So Khalil Herbert is more of a flex, desperation, running back play. It sucks because he can have these monster games and you don't want to miss out on that stuff. But this is the floor right here, 2.3 fantasy points. So only 78 points for Joe. I don't think I did it. Did I do a I didn't do a dud for Josh's team. I was thinking maybe he didn't have one. Nobody really killed his team. But I'm going Raheem Mostert. Again, I'm going like with Elliott's situation. I'm going to pick a dud who had a touchdown. So you'd think, how could he be your dud? But it's concerning what Jeff Wilson did in his first week with the Miami Dolphins. He was on the field more than Raheem Mostert, and it took the touchdown to make him fantasy relevant. Only had 26 yards on the ground, and I believe, no receptions at all. Jeff Wilson might be the more, you know, all-around back, and that was only his first week. So we could see a situation here that Jeff Wilson is maybe the third down back in two-minute back with getting the receptions, the high-value touches, and maybe Raheem Mostert is still the goal line guy, but we'll see. As lately, the Dolphins are not even needing the goal line. They're throwing it downfield to Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle, and those guys are taking care of business at the goal line. But I would give the dud to Raheem Mostert only because his future is up in the air. But congratulations to Josh, 6-3 on the year. I know he's excited about that. Joe Chick, again, I don't know mathematics, but he hits that 7-loss mark. He's 2-7 on the year. Taking a look at the standings, somehow, my goodness, the Guardians bracket here, division. Yeater Skeeter 6-3. BV Barwench is 6-3. Josh, who just put up 154 point, is third in that division at 6-3 because of the point out total, point output. That division is stacked, and unfortunately for Joe, you know, he's in a very tough division. I thought my division was tough. Whew. But nonetheless, Josh takes the. Okay, our next matchup is going to be Juan Torres Falcons taking on the Bathroom Hand Jobs, Mike Corrado, and Corrado takes the win 105-51. Oh, man. This is why I'm not like a fantasy guru, right? But I have gut feelings on stuff. And when that trade happened between Juan and Josh, the gut feeling was not even a gut feeling. It was almost a sure shot. That trade destroyed Juan's team and made Josh's team just infinitely better. Juan's team has not been the same since. It wasn't that great to begin with, but now he's not even putting up, 51 points. I'm just shocked at it. We'll start with his team. I'm going to say he doesn't have a stud. He doesn't have a stud. His best player this week was Kirk Cousins, who put up 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. And that was against Washington. I actually would have expected better from Kirk Cousins. That was above average if you're a streaming quarterback. But he's not streaming quarterback. That's his starting quarterback with 16 fantasy points. Just on the other side, Trevor Lawrence for Mike got him the same amount of points, 16.7 fantasy points. So I'm going zero studs for Juan's team. Dalvin Cook, 47 yards rushing and had a late receiving touchdown, and it was a great catch. But if he drops that ball, he's an absolute mega dud this week. He started Nyheim Hines on a week he just got traded in part of a committee and part of a team in the Buffalo Bills that just doesn't run the ball. I know he didn't have many options, but that's because he made that trade. It all goes back to the trade. Terry McLaurin, 8 fantasy points. Allen Robinson, 3 fantasy points. He's done. Tyler Higbee, 0. Jacoby Myers, 4. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 1. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 68 times, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling had 1 catch. He's just not part of that offense moving forward. Maybe they game plan him in here and there, but and even his kicker, 4. You know, all extra points, 0-1 on field goals. Just 51 fantasy points. I have a feeling Joe Chick has been rooting for Juan to continue to lose because they have the same record now, but Juan's point total is much, much lower. It's going to take a lot of research and maybe even a trade now. I don't know who he would trade. I don't like any of his players, but it would take a lot for Juan to dig himself out of this hole and not come in last place, aka bring a teddy bear to lunch or dinner. Moving on to Bathroom Hand Jobs, 105 points. You think to yourself, oh, triple digits, not bad, we'll take it. But 53 of those points came from Joe Mixon. 153 yards on the ground and 5 total touchdowns. Again, the stars aligned for him. Joe Burrow threw a couple touchdowns that were just called back on penalties, so they hand it off or hit Joe Mixon, and he runs it in every single time. So a great situation for Corrado with Joe Mixon. however, you want to put up a lot more points than 105 if one player has 53. Duds all over the place. You know, Chris Godwin, 7 receptions for 36 yards. That's hard to do because when you hike the ball, you start running to begin with. So you feel like you're going to catch it. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. He's like the new Jarvis Landry of the Buccaneers. He was in a tough situation. He started Kadarius Toney, only 2 points. Alvin Kamara last night, 7 fantasy points. Romeo Doubs is injured, probably gone for 4 to 6 weeks, probably gone for the year as far as fantasy football goes. So a much needed win for Corrado, but 105 points is not the output you expect from a player after they get 53. So Corrado moves to this is great podcasting, 3-6, while Juan Torres moves to that 2-7. He's in the danger zone, folks. He might be at Build-A-Bear right now, stuffing that bear. All right, our next matchup is going to be the BV Bar Wenches, our final matchup of the week, taking on Unleash the Beast. And Alicia takes the win without Jonathan Taylor or Keenan Allen, like she's had all year, 99-89. Let's take a look at her squad. Patrick Mahomes, 34 fantasy points, 446 yards and 2 total touchdowns. Unbelievable performance by Mahomes. You know, he was a big part of that fantasy output was 6 rushing attempts for 63 yards and a touchdown. That's not something you expect all the time from Mahomes, but he can move, man. If you're going to give an open pocket in a running lane, he's going to take it, and he scored a touchdown on this one. 34 fantasy points. Again, like I said in the pre-show, Travis Kelce, 10 for 106, 17 targets, even with all those, you know, mid-tier pass catchers, Travis Kelce is still king. As far as her dud goes, I'm going Alec Pierce. He's in that situation with Michael Pittman where the Colts are just in no man's land as far as quarterback goes. Sam Ellinger is not that guy. So Alec Pierce, I'm not sure you can start him moving forward, but I can see why she did. She had, you know, bye weeks and injuries and all that good stuff. So she puts up 99 and takes the win. Moving on to the BV Bar Wenches, he didn't need much from Devin Duvernay. He needed about 11 points to take the win, and he couldn't get it. Devin Duvernay is your dud, 1 fantasy points, when there's no pass catchers at all for the Ravens. And the Ravens win, and they just don't need Devin Duvernay. So this is the floor of Devin Duvernay, 1 fantasy points. We know what he can do if he gets the targets, and he's a kick returner. You never know. You could get a cheap touchdown in the kicking game. But 1 fantasy point, definitely let Roach down. As far as his stud goes, I'm going Josh Palmer, his boy. 8 catches for 106 and 14 fantasy points. This is what you would expect from Devin Duvernay. Josh Palmer found himself in a wide receiver one role because Keenan Allen is gone, Mike Williams is gone, and he's just the next man up. Same goes for Devin Duvernay, and he didn't deliver. So Josh Palmer is going to be your stud. Chris puts up 89 and moves to 6-3 on the year. So just like Jason, takes a loss. But that division's tough, man. Takes a loss and still 6-3. I'd kill to be 6-3. And Alicia, my goodness, she just keeps winning. 8-1 on the season. Congratulations. She moves, she's the number one team right now. I know I always say Elliott's power ranking is number one because of his squad makeup. And I think if Elliott were to face Alicia full squad versus full squad, I think Elliott takes care of business. But record-wise, she just keeps getting it done. So congratulations to Alicia. All right, before we close out today's show, let's hit up the power rankings. The league power rankings from the simulator. Starting at 12, Torres Falcons. Juan Torres at number 11 is the trophy wife. So she gets a win, still ranked 11th. At number 10, bathroom hand jobs. At number 9, this is surprising, Yeater Skeeters. So at 6-3, finds himself at the 9 position, as well as BV Barwenches at 8. So Chris Roach, 6-3. Also ranked pretty low here. At number 7, very surprising, the Book of Samuel, 2-7, Jochick finds himself ranked 7th. I still think it's because he's putting up points. Not this week, but most weeks he's putting up over 100. These rankings are very interesting. At number 6, Josh moves up here. Dawson Knox's Creek after a big week. And I think moving forward, Justin Fields is going to be a pillar of his team. Speaking of, number 5, pillar of fire. Tom, even with the loss, moves to number 5 somehow. At number 4, Unleash the Beast. So at 8-1, finds herself ranked number 4. Doesn't make sense to me. But this is a simulation, folks. I don't have a hand in it. I just read the names. At number 3, myself, Mr. Fahrenheit. I would not have myself this high. I'd be more like this 5-6 mark if I was doing the rankings. At number 2, bye week, Gage Aziz. And at number 1, no change, L's Bell. So let's see how these play out for the rest of the year. We will determine if I will use these next year or not. Some of these seem a little silly. This is rest of season rankings, so I made sure to click the right option. But yeah, for Jochick to be ranked 7th in the league at 2-7, I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe he's all through his bye weeks or something and he's going to be at full strength rest of season. I'm not too sure. We'll take a look at it. We'll follow it. And good luck to everyone in week 10. We'll see you on the other side.